Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Jude Eads, Head of Communications at Science Oxford. Hello, Jude.
Hi there, how are you?
Good, thank you. So, can you tell me a bit about the history of Science Oxford?
Sure. So Science Oxford is actually owned by a charitable trust called the Oxford Trust that was founded 30 years ago, so 1985, by an entrepreneurial couple called Audrey and Martin Woods. And the Woods were quite amazing people. Martin was a scientist at the University of Oxford. He invented a thing called a superconducting magnet. And these are the magnets that are now found in MRI scanners across the world. So he discovered a new technology 30 years ago, or actually it was probably about 50 years ago that he sort of started to discover this technology. And now if you've worked for an MRI scan in a hospital, that technology is still used today. So very successful. And he and his wife set up a company called Oxford Instruments, which they then floated on the stock market. And that enabled them financially to be able to give something back to the community in Oxford, to scientists, to businessmen. And what they wanted to do was to invest in local science organisations, to build networks of people who worked in science, to try and get kind of more inventions and ideas coming out of Oxford. And also they really wanted to inspire young people, especially school children, about science as a career. And so they decided that they would set up Science Oxford. And so Science Oxford, really, now we reach out to schools across not just Oxfordshire, but Buckinghamshire and West Berkshire as well. And we have a brilliant outreach team who go out to the schools and they do all kinds of really fun science experiments, which are linked to the curriculum, but kind of are just loads more fun. For example, we do science shows about where fire comes from, shows about chemical reactions where all the kids get to kind of make things that fizz and whiz. We do lots of science shows kind of about materials, so why metal bends, why certain chemicals smell, lots of sort of unusual things that can make the children inquisitive about science. Maybe just trigger a little bit of inspiration in their heads about that being quite a cool way to go into. And also, as well as the school's outreach, we do a lot of teacher training. So obviously you have teachers who've been teaching primary school children for a long time and sort of trying to think about how they can bring science into the classroom. So we run lots of after work training for them to help kind of also inspire them about science teaching as we're inspiring the children. So saying, you know, if this is the topic that you're working on, why not think about doing this experiment or doing this little show with them or getting them to do their own inventions, you know. It's all very creative and kind of very exciting. And then we also do a programme of activities for families and for adults. And this is our live programme.
Yes.
And this is kind of the area where I've been working. And we create events for families and children every season. So basically we have around 20 to 30 events running from now, from September and through till Christmas for all different sorts of age groups. And again, it's about inspiring. It's not about teaching people about science. It's kind of just getting them engaged in the science all around them, the world all around them, you know, from everything from why the sun shines and heats the earth through to, you know, what's going on in your stomach if you get a stomach bug, everything.
So what's your next event for adults? I've read about it and I'm very excited.
So our next event for adults is really, it's kind of taking them back to their childhood. So I mentioned about, you know, when you're in the classroom and learning about science, sometimes it can be a bit dull and sometimes if you get a great teacher, it's really inspiring.
It definitely makes a difference.
Absolutely, it does. And I think when I was at school, even though I now work with scientists all the time, I wasn't particularly engaged with science. I loved biology, but physics and chemistry were a real struggle. And I think the only reason I passed my physics GCSE was because it was my best friend's mum was my teacher. And so a lot of people sort of, you know, they kind of leave science behind at 14 and they never go back. They never go into a lab again. They never do any experiments again. And so what we wanted to do was to create an event for adults, but actually about their inner child. And so we created this event called Gunge for Grown-Ups, which is next Thursday at the Pegasus Theatre, 17th of September. And the idea is that adults can come in and they can get messy and play and have a great time all night with all different sorts of experiments.
Awesome.
So we're going to be doing, we're making fire tornadoes.
Wow.
We're going to be punching custard because you can actually punch custard. And explaining the scientific reasons why. We're going to be making human-sized bubbles, trying to squeeze them inside human-sized bubbles. also, and this is kind of the favourite, especially with people of a certain age who grew up with Ghostbusters, like I did, is we're making slime, and it's basically like the ectoplasm that kind of gets trailed around New York City in Ghostbusters. So we're going to get everybody making that and getting really messy. And it's for anyone who's age 16 and over, so it really is kind of the grown-ups let loose in the chemistry lab for one night only at the Pegasus Theatre.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And you've also got the sidebar. Is it every month?
So sidebar runs, yes. It's kind of every month or every 2 months. It depends on the time of year. And so we work in partnership with lots of other kind of science communication groups across Oxford. And there are quite a lot. There's a lot of scientists here and a lot of young scientists who are really keen to sort of talk about their research, which is fantastic. And Science Oxford really supports that kind of activity. And so the sidebar are running at the Story Museum an event called The Science of Mind Reading.
Wow.
And it's being hosted by a guy who was always very sceptical about the skills of mind readers. You know, and the fact that, you know, there's sort of, I'm not going to say whether it's true or not, but they sort of maybe sort of psychologically dupe people into believing what they're saying. And so he's done a complete study of the psychology behind mind reading, and it's kind of made him less judgmental. And so he's going to do this talk about the process. And it's fabulous as well, because as part of the event, they've got a magician who's going to come along and do this kind of psychological tricks, which magic is all about as well. You know, it's the sleight of hand, but also the tricking the brain. So he's going to be warming up the evening with doing lots of this kind of magic tricks before our mind reading expert takes over.
A sort of scientific explanation behind Derren Brown.
Yes, absolutely right, actually, yes. Derren is mentioned. If you go to our website, there's a bit about Derren and, yes, and kind of the analysis of how he does what he does.
What's been your favourite event that you've ever put on or that you've ever taken part in?
Oh, gosh. It's hard because we've done so many since we sort of relaunched the programme back at the end of 2014. And I think the favourite event that we've done that I was involved with was an event called Hooked on Music, which we did at Modern Art Oxford. And this is all about the science behind why we respond to certain types of music. So young children really like the beat of a drum. They like rhythm. They like things to be regulated and predictable. And as we get older, the kind of music that we like tends to vary quite a lot. I've got quite a diverse taste in music, whereas when I was young, I only liked kind of pop music. So there's some scientists who've done some research into why certain people like certain types of music and the effect that music has on the brain. You know, we all like, you know, if you listen to whale music, you're supposed to relax. And if you listen to dance music, you'll never get to sleep. And so we had guys came over from Holland to do this talk about science music. And then we had a silent disco.
Excellent.
Which are very cool.
Yes. You need to one. I love silent discos. I adore them. Did you have two stations that you could switch between?
Yes, we did. So we had hardcore rock music and then we had show tunes and ballads.
Wow.
And so people could flick between the two. So there was one point where we had Guns N' Roses playing in one channel and Whitney Houston on the other. And you could tell immediately because there was people kind of holding their hearts and stretching out their arms and, you know, looking angst-ridden. And then there were people sort of moshing and, going for some serious rock. And the thing I loved about it was the fact that everyone lost their inhibitions. Mm. We'd had this kind of like the science talk, which was really cool. Everyone was standing up and listening to the scientist talk, and there was some film and some music and quizzes, but it was still relatively restrained. But the minute we kind of got the music going, everybody just went for it. And it was very spooky, it was weird, because you're wearing headphones when you're listening to the music. So if you were just a bystander without headphones, you're just seeing a load of people dancing, but you don't know what they're dancing to. So it was quite surreal as well, but it was absolutely brilliant. It was a sellout event, and we really want to do one again in the next couple of years.
I think you definitely should.
Yeah, it's very good, very popular with students as well, obviously. It's, I think that was our most popular audience for that event. So yes, so we will let you know when we do another one.
Looking forward to it already. One event that I saw that sort of got my attention, probably because I'm quite morbid, was the serial killer formula.
Yes.
That looks so cool. Can you explain a bit about it?
Yes, sure. So, yeah, this is an event actually we've done before and it was so popular we're doing it again. So that's always a good sign. In America, I don't know if they have more serial killers than England. I think they probably do. But there's a mathematician who designed a formula for basically catching serial killers. And I can't explain the mathematical formula because it's extremely long, but basically the idea is that you can locate where a serial killer might live based on their movements. So if they've got evidence that they've been shopping in certain shops or drinking in certain bars or eating in certain cafes, what they do is they put all that data into a computer and then they put it through this mathematical formula and it comes out with a location of where they potentially could be. And it works. And so in America, there's been a number of quite famous serial killers out there who've been caught using this mathematical formula. And there's a scientist in the UK called Dr. Steve Lacomba, and he's based at Queen Mary University in London. And he had learnt a lot about this research. He'd been out to meet the scientists involved and the police who also they liaise with, you know, when catching these people. And he thought, well, if we can use this technology and this mathematical formula to find serial killers, what else could we use it for? Really, it's about data collection. So you get some information about something you're researching and you put it through this formula and it comes out with an answer. And I'll give you an example, is disease. What Steve Lacomba is doing now is looking at the spread of malaria in Africa. So he's using the same mathematical formula, the same principles of collecting data about people's movements, except in this case, he's using the data collected from the movement of mosquitoes and then putting it through this mathematical formula to work out where the starting points are for specific types of malaria, because also it's kind of like a mutating parasite. Yeah. So it changes based on where you find it in Africa. So it's really exciting stuff. So what Steve does in this event, he talks about kind of where the mathematical formula came from, you know, the tracking of serial killers in America. And then he talks about how scientists are now applying this formula to their areas of research. So he's looking at the spread of malaria in Africa. There's scientists who are working, looking at tracking bats. The nice thing about Steve is once he's kind of done this talk and everybody's kind of sitting there, he also then identifies a serial killer in the audience. So when you book your tickets, you can offer to be part of this experiment. And what he does... We collect everybody's shopping receipts 2 weeks in advance. We're going to collect everybody's shopping receipts who's coming to the event. He takes that data and puts it into the computer. And basically, he's going to nominate one person as the serial killer, or we're going to nominate one person as the serial killer. And he's got to work out who it is using this maths. So during the event, somebody in the audience will be named as the serial killer. And we've got to see whether his technology works and whether... and whether he's right when he names the person. And we've done it before and he got it right.
That's so incredible.
Based on where they've shopped, what they've done over 2 weeks before, they take all of that information, it's amazing, and then they can kind of churn it out and work out who was the person who committed the crime. Oh, so it's a really great interactive event for people who come along.
Maybe don't nominate yourself as a serial killer if you don't like audience participation.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Although there is no punishment, just a round of applause.
We should probably move on to some less morbid events. You have a Saturday Science Club for kids. What sort of things do you do there?
Well, yeah, the Saturday Science Club runs monthly at the Oxford Centre for Innovation, which is down by the Oxford Castle. And this is like a fabulous sort of workshop for children where they can, again, it's kind of a bit like the Gunge for Grown-Ups. They can get in and get hands-on and gets messy. And we sort of do different topics every year. We've done the science of making candles, so learning about how things are liquid and then set, learning about fire, learning how to make square bubbles. We do a whole show on square bubbles, which is quite cool. At Christmas, we're making snowflakes, which is pretty cool. So all the children can learn about the cold and why things freeze, and then they get to make their own snowflakes to take home, which is pretty cool. And we run three sessions across the day on a Saturday, and we're also doing it in Abingdon now, which is quite exciting, Abingdon School. And it's lovely because you can get really quite young children involved. You know, we have 4 or 5-year-olds who come along and then a bit nervous when they get there. And then if you give them a straw and some bubble liquid and you say, right, I want to make the biggest bubble you possibly can, then they're straight in there. And one thing I learned, because I actually went, because I've got a daughter, and I took her along when we did this bubble making one, and I didn't know that you know when a bubble is going to pop because it suddenly loses its colour.
Oh.
So when you blow a bubble, you know, you get lots of swirls of rainbow colours sort of on a bubble. If you look, it's then they sort of move around. And just before a bubble bursts, it suddenly starts to thin out and it starts to break down and all the colour goes, and that's when you know it's going to pop. There you go.
Wow.
So, yeah, I would recommend any parents who've got young children just to come along and give it a try, because it's just really great fun. It's only for an hour. They get to take home whatever they make. And hopefully, you never know, we might have some scientists of the future in those little 4 or 5 year olds.
Have you got any events that explore beyond our world, beyond our Earth?
We do, yes. In November, we're doing a brilliant evening for families called Spectacular Space. And we're doing it at the Earth Trust, which is out near Abingdon. And it's going to be an evening of stargazing, lots of hands-on cool science experiments. And also we're doing a planetarium show where children can come in, and their family and their parents can come in and watch a show all about the universe, how the universe began, the alignment of our stars, why we need a sun to exist. And then we're really excited about this because it's the sort of event where you literally can rock up. It's like a little mini science festival for the night. You can rock up, do all the hands-on stuff, see the show, talk to some scientists, and then get to look. We've got some brilliant telescopes so people can look up at the stars and kind of learn a little bit more about sort of where we fit in the universe. It's a big subject, but we're trying to make it a sort of small and fun and accessible. Yeah, which is often quite difficult when you're talking about
massive things.
Yeah, space science is quite incredible.
When's that?
So that's on the 14th of November, Saturday the 14th of November, at the Earth Trust, from 4:30 to 7:30. And we've just opened bookings for that now. And tickets are selling quite fast. I think it's one of those topics, like, children love anything to do with space.
Yeah.
And also Doctor Who's starting soon. And we always get a real boost in anything we're doing when Doctor Who starts back on the TV. So
brilliant. So how can people get involved beyond attending the events? Like, if you're a scientist in Oxford, how can you get involved?
Well, there's lots of ways to get involved. We run the STEM Ambassadors Scheme, which is Science, Technology, Engineering and Maths Ambassadors Scheme. And this really is about getting scientists to talk to older children about their careers. We're really supportive. This goes back to what the Woods, our patrons, kind of really wanted to do about inspiring young people. And what we do is we take scientists who are working either within one of the universities in Oxford, or they might be working in a private organisation, private business. They volunteer to go into schools and just talk about the research that they do with young people. Maybe to, if there's a particular topic in school that the children are working on, a bit like an engineering project, we might try and match the school up with a local engineer who can go in and talk about how what the children are learning is kind of relevant to his job out in the big wide world. That's a really exciting project, and we really encourage people to sign up to that. And you can go to the Science Oxford website, and there's a whole section on STEM ambassadors. We're also always looking for volunteers to come and help at events, especially with our family events where we have a lot going on. There's always loads of things to do, carrying sort of liquids and boxes and all sorts of things to our stands and setting up our stands. So we are looking for volunteers if people do want to come and help. We do have a lot of science students who come and help us at events just because they want to get a feel for other stuff going on outside their field of expertise.
Yeah.
So we might have, you know, might have biologists who come along and help out at a space event and go away suddenly realizing there's more to life than just biology. And also, you know, just we love feedback, things also. People, when they come to our events, or if you've got an idea for a show, you could contact us via info@scienceoxford.com. And if you email that, if you've got any ideas for events, or you think your children are desperate to see something on a certain topic, then by all means get in touch, because that kind of feedback will help us to make a more exciting programme in the future.
Already sounds like a very exciting programme to me. If people want to just sort of read about events, you have a blog?
We do, that's yep. Right. So yeah, we've got the SciComm blog, we call it. And what we do, we've got, we pick up stories that are in the news, and we get sort of our staff to give our angle on certain stories that are in the news. And we also have teachers who've written blogs for us, so science teachers talking about their experience in the classroom. And our most popular blog today, I think, was actually written by one of our STEM ambassadors who'd been out to do something at a school. And it's a really lovely story about what he got out of the experience. It's a great piece for encouraging other people to kind of become a STEM ambassador. So yeah, I would definitely direct people to go and have a look at that. And also, we've got a Twitter account, so you can see we're posting pictures almost daily of activities that we're doing, events that are coming up, opportunities to get discounted tickets, that kind of thing. So if you can follow us on Twitter, we're just @ScienceOxford. And we've got nearly 10,000 Twitter followers. So I'm encouraging everybody to follow us, because that's one of my targets I'm determined to reach, is to get to 10,000 by Christmas.
I think that's a reasonable aim. What are your plans for the future? I saw on the website that you might have a podcast coming out soon.
That's right. We're always looking for new ways to talk about all of our events and science in general. And so a podcast is definitely on the cards for next year. We're going to be hopefully launching a new website, which is going to be much more accessible and have a lot more information on it. We're going to be launching that sort of April, May time next year. So I'm excited about that. And also, we're going to have some amazing events next year. We're hoping to put on events about the science of coffee.
Ooh.
Absolutely. Not just the reason why it wakes you up in the morning, but also kind of what caffeine does to your brain. And there'll be lots of coffee sampling going on, I think, for that one. So that should be quite exciting. We've got Ideas to Inventions Club, which is for any young inventor, any child who likes, you know, constructing things out of Lego or straws or going out into the garden and doing a bit of experimenting in the mud outside with a few sticks and some leaves and making potions. And that's, again, about kind of letting children just have that sort of freedom to try new things and building computers, building robots. We've got all sorts of stuff lined up. So that's going to be a really good new club, I think, for families in Oxford.
So your next event is Guns for Grown-Ups on Thursday, the 17th of September.
That's right, and that's at the Pegasus Theatre. And it starts at 7:30, so come along. Might recommend wearing not your best clothes, because you probably will get messy during the evening. And we'd love to see people there. The bar will be open. It's going to be kind of fun. And and it's £9 a ticket and £6 concession. So it's a good deal for 2 hours of crazy chemistry.
Brilliant. Make sure to follow Science Oxford on Twitter and check out their events on their website. Thank you, Jude.
Thank you.